Welcome to week 9 of the original 11, coming off, well, let's call it the Ivy League game of the decade, if not, you know, the 21st century. My name is Craig Sachs. I'm here with Cody Cruchel. On today's show, we will have Ben Ellis coming off a 9-tackle game and one of the great defensive efforts you'll see from a Princeton football team. We'll get to his interview later. No reason to go anywhere but Saturday's game. You know, I thought after 10 minutes that everything I expected was wrong, that I had a low-scoring game in mind, and, you know, both teams go down the field, and it's 7-7 in the middle of the first quarter, and I'm like, man, maybe we do have a shootout. It was anything but.
Going into that game, I could have seen that playing out 20 or 25 different ways, and I guess that was probably one of them, but really just an interesting game. A, because you hadn't seen Princeton in a game like that. I mean, I guess Harvard was that case, but Princeton never trailed in that Harvard game, and, you know, really it never got that tenuous. That was an interesting game. You look at the first two drives, Dartmouth, methodical 7-minute drive. They run 14 plays. Princeton comes back. The Tigers run a 12-play drive and score. And then a little lull in the action. And for Princeton, very uncharacteristic. They go, they turn the ball over on back-to-back drives. They go 8 straight drives without scoring. Defense was as advertised. The defense kept them in the game. They kept them within 2 points. And then towards the end of the game, John Lovett doing what John Lovett does, Jesper Horsted doing what Jesper Horsted does, and Princeton did what they needed to do to win that game. And you're not kidding when you say the game of the century, because we haven't had a game between two Ivy League undefeated teams that late in the season since 2001, and this one trumped it.
When you think about just completely different games between one year and the next, last year, Dartmouth scored 34 points in the fourth quarter alone to win that game 54-44. On Saturday, Dartmouth had 43 yards in the second half. 43 yards from one of the highest-ranked offenses in the league. Look, you know, it's easy to talk offense, and we've done it a lot. And between Lovett and Horsted and you know, Carlson and Volker, there's a lot to talk about, and it's exciting and it's fun, but we've said all year that this defense can't be slept on, that this defense can dominate and has been dominant. But, you know, besides maybe a couple quarters against Harvard where it was really tight, never with this much pressure, never with this much on the line.
Last year, Princeton-Dartmouth up in Hanover, that was the highest scoring game in over 130 years of Dartmouth football history. This year it was 9-7 late in the fourth quarter. Defensively, this is the number 2 ranked defense in the country for Princeton. They came into Saturday giving up 9 points per game. What did they do? They gave up 9 points.
And they couldn't afford to give up many more, because that Dartmouth defense is terrific. You know, they were certainly everything that, you know, you had heard about. Obviously, Don Dobbs coordinating that defense. He was a linebackers coach at Princeton for a long time. A really good group. But Princeton, they showed they were their equal in that game. You know, so many times, you know, people talk about Princeton kind of, shooting itself in the foot a little bit in a couple of red zone spots. But that first and goal at the 2 for Dartmouth, where you felt like, man, maybe momentum really is completely on Dartmouth's side. Granted, the false start hurt, you know, because you could see Gerbino going 4 times into the line. But from there, even first and goal at the 7, that's a tough, tough call for a defense. And, you know, you get the break on the field goal, but that stand right there and then the missed field goal, you could just feel momentum shift.
Princeton's game plan going in, okay, if you were a Princeton fan or a Princeton coach, if you had to pick one thing that you have to do to win this football game, it would probably be stop Jared Gerbino, who rushed for 202 yards and 4 touchdowns last year. 15 carries, 29 yards. Longest rush of the day for him was 10. Kept him out of the end zone, kept him under 2 yards per carry. That's what they had to do, and I think that was, outside of all the little things that win football games, that was one of those things that was going to make the difference, and Princeton executed, plain and simple.
You know, you saw so much. The deep ball has been such a big part of Princeton's offense this year, you know, not knowing as much about Dartmouth. We saw, you know, even against Harvard, they had big plays. I believe in the second half, the longest play from scrimmage was 11 yards. It was really just a pure throwback kind of game where two lines kind of dominated. It was just a field position battle, and that's where that 99-yard or 94-yard drive mattered so much, and why I didn't mind Bob Sorese's decision to go for it. A, you got John Lovett. He gets those plays all the time. Dartmouth trusted its defensive line. Its defensive line won that play, but you could tell that Dartmouth went into an offensive shell. They only led by two at the time. They couldn't afford a safety. They went into a shell, got really conservative, punted, and all of a sudden Princeton's were kind of right back there with good field position. You had to eventually score. I think if they don't get that Lovett touchdown kind of maybe 5-6 minutes left, I think they kick the field goal then. At some point, you have to kick it and get ahead. But that drive was so big, and at that point, I thought the most confident unit on the field was the Princeton defense. I think they had just taken control in the second half.
And the Princeton defense, you get the feeling, okay, they were waiting for a game like this. They've been on the sideline in the second half. It's been a blowout. This offense gets a lot of the attention, but this defense deserves a lot of attention, and they had their moment to showcase what they can do, and they proved, yeah, this is a really good defense. And kind of going back to the broader picture, you almost wish you can get like a best of five series or there was a conference championship game, because I would love to see Princeton-Dartmouth one more time this year.
No, I mean, it was, and this is my 17th year doing Ivy League football. I'm not sure I've seen five teams better than this Dartmouth team, and not five teams better than this Princeton team. And look, we are on the Princeton side, so I don't want to see a shared title. Okay, it will be a shame for Dartmouth to finish 6-1, 9-1 overall, not get a piece of it, but it is a credit to those two teams that they put that type of game. You know, games get hyped all the time, every year, and sometimes they don't live, a lot of times they don't live up to it. That one I thought really did. It was a fun game to watch. You mentioned the defense. You look at the third quarter against Harvard, the third quarter against Dartmouth, fourth quarter against Dartmouth. Those are efforts that are legendary. And, you know, the Princeton offense, it answered the bell. Maybe a little longer, took a little longer, but they got the job done. And now they go into Yale, a team that, you know, kind of quietly has started playing a lot better over the last two or three weeks. They threw a freshman quarterback out there, put up a big number against Brown. You know, you don't know exactly what to make of that, but look, this Yale-Princeton rivalry goes back a long, long, long time. We have seen big upsets. We have seen, you know, teams kind of make their season out of just beating the other. Yale's still the defending champion. They still have some really good pieces on both sides of the ball. And anyone who thinks Princeton's championship season was finished on last Saturday, you just don't know this Princeton-Yale rivalry.
You're Princeton. If you go out there and you don't play to the best of your ability Saturday in New Haven and Dartmouth comes out with a win,
you're back.
Great. Well, yeah, last week didn't really matter. You got the win, but there's 2 1-loss teams, and then it comes down to week 10. But if you're Princeton, you're playing for the outright title. I know you don't want to share a title. Those guys don't want to share a title either. So there's a lot on the line. Yale, you mentioned, it's still the defending champions, breaking in a new quarterback, phenomenal ground game.
And but not phenomenal ground.
No.
And that's going to be an interesting, you know, the Yale Bowl.
Especially if it is raining, like there's a chance it could be.
Right. Everything you've heard about the Yale Bowl, it's not good. And the grass, the field, and Princeton hasn't played, I don't think, was Butler grass? I don't remember offhand. But, you know, they haven't played on a grass field yet this year. And this is kind of like semi-grass slash mud slash...
We saw the playing conditions come into play, I think, Yale's home Ivy League opener, which was a month and a half ago, and it wasn't a bad day, but that field gets sloppy and that field gets chopped up. That completely changes the game. We talked about changing the game with what the wind did and the rain a couple weeks ago and how that affects it. Field conditions are going to play a factor Saturday.
Yeah, it's going to be a 12:30 start at the Yale Bowl. If you've never been there, it really is an amazing place to watch a game. I've certainly seen some incredible wins there and some really heartbreaking losses. So it should be a fun one. A 12:30 start. It's on ESPN+. You can also hear it on 103.3 FM and TuneIn Radio. One player who has played a pivotal role in where Princeton stands right now and the opportunity that it has over the next 2 weeks is senior safety Ben Ellis. This is his second year as a starter. Made some really critical plays. I know he was given the defensive game ball after the Dartmouth win. Let's hear from him right now.
Ben, before we get into specifics of the Dartmouth game, can you just talk about what it felt like to be part of it? I mean, you know, people talk about these historic games, and to get the chance to be in one and to come out on the winning side of it, you know, I know you guys try to forget games and move on to the next one, but there has to be some lingering, you know, pretty good feelings about being part of a game like that.
Yeah, absolutely. You know, you try to make every game, you know, as normal as possible, it being the next game, but we all knew coming into this one was a really important historical game for us, and you know, a game that we're going to remember for a long time. And so I think it's good to think about that especially yesterday after the game and up until today. But you know, now we're on to Yale, and after the season we'll have a chance to look back on it and kind of reminisce. But for now we're kind of focused on the next few games. But yeah, it was definitely in the back of our minds for sure.
All right, before you get too heavy into Yale, let's look at some specifics from that game. Let's start with right that first drive. And you know, I think it's easy to forget you guys had a couple of third and longs that, you know, maybe you convert, it feels a lot different. But it was the first time all season that somebody went right down the field on you and scored a touchdown on that first drive. Was there any, I don't want to say panic, because it clearly was very early in the game, but you know, were you questioning anything after that drive, or was it just a matter of, you know, we just need to execute better?
Yeah, I think, you know, Dartmouth runs a different style of offense than we see a lot of times. So I think definitely seeing that style of play for the first time, you know, that was tough on that first drive. But after that, you know, nobody really flinched. We knew our scheme was sound. We knew coaches were going to get us in the right spot, and that if we do our assignments and our responsibilities, then we were going to be able to stop them going forward. So, you know, that's something that's tough, especially when you run into a team that runs a different style of offense. But, you know, I was really proud of the guys. After that first series, we really got together, and, you know, we didn't flinch. We came back out and played really solid football after that.
Late in that second quarter, you know, they get the safety, then they get pretty good field position, have the one play down to the two. Now they're facing first and goal at the two and a chance to go up two possessions, which would be more than you've trailed by all season. Now, obviously, you know, they get the false start, but that stretch right there was such a momentum changer for you guys. What do you remember about those plays, especially that third and goal? You know, what do you remember about the energy you had coming off the field, even before you realized you'd get, you know, they'd missed the field goal?
Yeah, I mean, that's the kind of stuff that we live for and we get energized about is, you know, when our backs are up against the wall, we love playing in those types of situations. And that's kind of where we get our identity a lot. And so especially when we come up with a big stop in those situations, you know, we're always juiced. And you know, we try to, you know, throw that back to the offense in a way and, you know, just see those kind of opportunities when we're backed up on our own goal line, you know, third downs, critical situations, turnover, something like that. We kind of view those opportunities as a chance to show who we really are and then, give our offense some confidence. So we were really pumped up when we got that big stop.
You had so many drives, you know, second quarter, third quarter, you know, even the fourth, you know, where the game really is in the balance. And did the experience of the Harvard game a couple weeks earlier where, you know, they really had three drives that they could take the lead and you know, shut them down each time. Did that experience help you at all? Or, you know, could you pull any confidence from knowing that, you know, you've already experienced this?
Yeah, absolutely. I think that Harvard game was huge, especially in the third quarter there, coming out with consecutive stops. And we were kind of able to do that again this game. But, you know, that Harvard game was a big confidence builder for us, a big identity builder. And, you know, that's kind of the defense that we strive to be, and, you know, to be able to go out and execute and show that, you know, that was really big for us. But that experience playing at Harvard in the close game, where our defense really needed to step up, was big, considering we've been in a bunch of games where we've won by a lot. So, you know, that was huge for us to, you know, we look back and we can say, you know, we've done that before and we can do it again. So that was really big for us.
You know, the second half, they had a couple plays really early, but last 25 minutes, no first downs. I know you, as a team, you weren't ahead, but did you feel like defensively, did you feel like you were in control of that game, at least your defense against their offense? I mean, did you feel in the second half like, you know, we're good here, we're in control?
Definitely. We felt like we had a good bead on what they were going to come at us with, you know, what their strengths were, where they were going to go with the ball. So, you know, we were really confident that entire time. And, you know, again, I'm really proud of the guys. We come with the same effort, you know, every time we take the field, no matter what the situation is, what the score is. And we kind of try to, you know, we use that as our mantra. You know, we play the same way no matter what the situation is. So I think we kind of showed that last game, and, you know, that was big coming down the stretch for us.
Yeah, I thought one of the most impressive things was, you know, and you had talked about during the season, all the defensive guys, you know, you kind of build off both sides of the ball. The offense feels good when you guys get them a turnover or a big quick stop, and you guys, you know, come out hungry after they score touchdowns. But this one really had some, you know, potential momentum swings for the offense that, you know, inside the red zone they didn't quite finish. And it never seemed to deflate you guys. It seemed like you had that trust that, look, if we keep them off the scoreboard, we're going to win this game because we know our offense is going to score.
Exactly. We always have that confidence in our offense, and it's hard not to with the performances that they put up. You know, we know if we can hold teams, and you know, eventually our offense is going to score, no matter how long it takes them. And you know, that just comes from a lot of great leadership on both sides of the ball, Johnny, and then, you know, Tom and Mark in the middle on our side. And, you know, the whole time, you know, we're talking about, you know, believing on the sideline. Like, we just have so much confidence, in our leaders and our coaching staff and, in our team. And so that allows us to go, you know, play free and play hard, especially on the defensive side of the ball. So, that was huge for us this game, you know.
One of the things that, you know, I've been impressed with this team is really the way you maintain this very level focus all season. And it's not, you know, early season, it's these huge scores that you put up on teams, you know, these huge margins of victory, not getting overconfident. And then obviously this past week, you know, coming out with a pretty sound, you know, not getting too high early in the week. And you mentioned it already, but, you know, it's a new challenge in that this is clearly, you know, this huge game nationally. And now you have to bounce back because now you're going to go on the road against your most, you know, arguably your most historic rival in Yale in a game that, you know, you haven't clinched anything yet. And you have a Dartmouth team that's one game behind you and a Yale team that's still in the mix. You know, how important is it to kind of just keep that mentality, keep that maturity, and how much do you rely on guys? You know, I mean, you, yourself and a big senior class has played such a role in your success this season.
Yeah, I mean, that's paramount. You know, when we outline our goals for the beginning of the season, it's 10-0 and an Ivy League championship. And, you know, up to this point and still now, we haven't accomplished either of those goals. So that's kind of the mentality that we've taken in every week, and everybody's been on the same page with that. As far as guys on offense, defense, Johnny, Jesper, Steve, Tom, Mark, and, you know, pretty much all of our senior class, you know, that's kind of been our mantra. Like, where we're focused on our ultimate goals every week, and then we're focused on what we have to do each week, each day, each practice to accomplish those goals. And so, I mean, like you said, like we haven't clinched an Ivy League title. We haven't accomplished any of our ultimate goals. And so that's really what we're taking into this week and what we've taken into the past 8 weeks. And so, you know, nothing's going to change for us. That's kind of who we are. And, you know, we just love going out and playing football, all of us. And so, you know, no matter who we're playing, what the situation is, you know, we just love to go out there and ball.
You know, we're recording this on a Sunday night. I'm guessing you probably haven't even watched any film on Yale at this point. But, you know, you look at the stats and you know this is a team that's going to throw it around. I mean, they've got a great run game. They have for years. But I mean, they have passed the ball as well as any team in the Ivy League. And coming off, you know, almost like a throwback game yesterday with all the running, I have to assume as a defensive back, as a safety, got to get your juices going a little bit to know that that ball is going to probably be flung around the field all day and an opportunity for you guys to make some plays in the backfield.
Yeah, absolutely. We love that. Especially coming off of a Dartmouth game, it's kind of unique. They run the ball so much. You know, we'll probably get challenged the other way against this Yale team that's really good through the air, and we love that. We love being able to try to make plays on the ball, and, you know, it's going to be a really good challenge this week playing against those guys. It always is. And so, you know, we're looking forward to it, and we're ready for the challenge.
Thank you for listening to this edition of the Original 11. Saturday's game is a 12:30 start at the Yale Bowl. It'll be on ESPN+, as well as WPRB 103.3 FM and TuneIn Radio. You can get every edition of the Original 11, as well as any other podcast from the Princeton Podcast Network, by subscribing to Princeton Tigers at Apple Podcasts or wherever you listen to podcasts. Thank you again for listening.